headlines, Iran's leader meets the Syrian president in Tehran, stressing the need for further expanding bilateral ties. Bashar al-Assad met with President Raisi, too. Hamas warns of Israel's massive missile strikes if Tel Aviv carries out threats to assassinate Palestinian resistance leaders. And India's threat to deport thousands of Rohingyas creates panic among the Muslim refugees. Hello and welcome from our headquarters in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumisha Ahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Iran's leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei has hailed the Syrian nation for remaining steadfast during the years-long war in the Arab country. The leader was speaking with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad here in the capital, Tehran. Ayatollah Khamenei said Syria's victory in that war has brought it respect and credibility. He also spoke about relations between Tehran and Damascus, saying that both governments are determined to further expand cooperation. The Syrian president, for his part, praised Iran for supporting his country, as well as the resistance front in the region. Al-Assad also held separate talks with his Iranian counterpart, Ebrahim Raisi. They discussed regional issues and bilateral relations. Raisi said the resistance of regional countries will result in a new order in West Asia. Al-Assad said Syria's ties with Iran are strategic. The one-day trip was Assad's second visit to Tehran since the war broke out in Syria in 2011. Now, to discuss that further, we're joined by Sayyid Mohsin Abbas, journalist and a political commentator who's joining us live from Islamabad. Thank you very much, sir, for joining us. And tell us what the significance of this visit is. It is the second time since 2011 that the Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad, has come to Tehran.
It comes at a time when things are getting very serious. I mean, as if they've not been serious for the last 30 years in West Asia. But really, we're coming to a really interesting point. And that point is all focused around Israel. Now, Syria being a frontline, if you like, force standing against Zionism for many years, having never recognized Israel in the slightest, has been targeted quite clearly in this war that we've seen, which has dragged out and has not really been resolved, what with Syria still having maybe almost a third of its land occupied by either American-backed Kurds, the American forces themselves, or Takfiris backed by Turkey and the Americans, and of course the Zionists. So the war isn't over. Syria isn't out of trouble. Yes, President Assad has managed to survive, and he's got the majority of his territories back. But the job is not done. First of all of Syria hasn't been liberated. That needs attention, and it will need the support, because it was the support of Hezbollah, backed by the Islamic Republic of Iran, which ultimately turned the tide with the Russian aerial support. But you see, ongoing battles with Israel are looming even more large, because on its own territory, we see day in, day out now that the Palestinian liberation is moving. It's moving forward in a very dramatic way at times, and Israel is faced with an internal crisis with its own Palestinian population. It's faced with a crisis with an ever more powerful Palestinian resistance. It's faced in the north with a force that it's petrified of, Hezbollah, which it's been defeated on two occasions by. And of course, the missiles that rained down on the Iron Dome are still fresh in the memory of Israel when they tried to attack Gaza on the last major occasion. All of this ties to Syria. Syria, at the same time, has started creating a rapprochement with many of its erstwhile enemies. The United Arab Emirates and other Arab states are trying to cozy up. Obviously, behind those Arab states are the usual suspects like Israel and America, who will be trying to use these Arab states to try and get Syria to soften up and perhaps break its ties, or at least reduce its ties and its friendship with those who've supported it through its hardest time. That's Iran, primarily. Now, that is what I think Ayatollah Khamenei is warning against in sort of couched language. He's clearly showing to President Assad, and President Assad is showing in return, that that tie of friendship is very, very important, and that alliance is still very much alive and well, and is still very much the pivot for the major threat to, Israel's existence, ultimately, and Israel's occupation of those territories and its constant troublemaking. Of course, Syria has disputes with Israel on another level, Golan Heights, and the Genie oil company, which is essentially resource raping. Resources of oil and gas which belong to Syria are being siphoned off by Genie. The Turks in the north, I mean, President Assad is not happy with Turkey occupying its northern territories and bolstering up the Tafiri terrorists, but there's no resolution to that until Russia and others come around the table and decide to actually wipe them out. So there are outstanding issues, many of them, and I think that this meeting is a kind of another flag to all those who may be thinking that President Assad might loosen his alliance with Iran. Of course, the trade between Iran and Iraq is essential, about 20 billions in an annual terms there. Also translates to Syria, because of course, you know, the pathway for the Islamic Republic of Iran to Syria goes through Iraq, and of course they've got very strong alliances with the Hashd al-Shaabi and the Iraqi forces out there as well. This is a pivotal alliance which also the Israelis and the Arabs, the Zayed Arabs and the Americans want to break. I think President Assad arriving in Tehran at this moment is very, very important for so many reasons. The first and foremost is declaring its ongoing partnership and friendship and strategic friendship with Iran with good reason.
Thank you very much. That was Syed Mohsen Abbas, journalist and political commentator, joining us live from Islamabad. Thank you. Now, Poland's foreign minister has paid a visit to Iran for talks on areas of mutual interest. The visit comes on the occasion of the 80th anniversary of the arrival of thousands of Polish refugees to Iran fleeing the Soviet Union's persecution in World War II. Youssef Jalali reports.
It's a warm welcome for an end to frosty ties. It's the second time in almost 3 years that Polish Foreign Minister Zbigniew Rau has visited Iran. His two-day trip began with a meeting with his Iranian counterpart, Hossein Amir Abdollahian. The talks were held behind closed doors, while the two diplomats briefed reporters on the themes of the discussions, which ranged from economic ties to the Russo-Ukrainian war.
We talked on important issues today, on potentials for economic cooperation. We also spoke about the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. I should thank Poland for hosting Ukrainian refugees in the Russian-Ukrainian war. Iran, for its part, has since day one called for a political solution to the crisis.
The Polish diplomat's trip comes on the 80th anniversary of the entry of Polish refugees into Iran during the thick of World War II. In 1942, Iran was a major landing point for some 120,000 Polish refugees who were forced out of Poland by the Soviet Union. Touching on the issue, the top Polish diplomat said Iran's hospitality created a cordial relationship between the two nations.
We are making the 80th anniversary of the exodus of Polish refugees from their land by the USSR. I should once again thank the Iranian nation who has hosted our countrymen, providing a safe haven for them for decades.
The Polish foreign minister underlined the significance of the 2015 deal in bringing peace, calling on both Iranian and American officials to arrive at an agreement as soon as possible.
Poland and Iran are looking forward to the success of the negotiations over the 2015 deal. When that happens, we will start extensive economic cooperation with Iran without worries over the sanctions.
Poland sits on a geostrategically important part of Eastern Europe. It could act as a gateway for Iran to trade with other European states. Iran, for its part, can also act as a gateway for Polish trade with the Middle East. The two sides cited lack of knowledge as the main reason behind their low trade, hoping that this trip will set the start for broader economic ties.
After decades of uneventful relations, Tehran and Warsaw are now determined to begin a new chapter in their ties. And this last visit by the Polish foreign minister is seen as the first step towards stronger ties between the two countries, something which could redefine the course of many unresolved issues, from the fate of the 2015 deal to Iran's ties with the West. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Palestinian resistance group Hamas is issuing a strongly worded warning to the Israeli regime on plans to target its leaders. The movement says it will burn Israeli-occupied cities to the ground with massive missile strikes if Tel Aviv carries out its threats to assassinate the group's leaders. Hamas says it will not remain indifferent to the Israeli threats and that Tel Aviv will pay the price of any such foolish act. Also, Palestinians in the city of Khan Yunis have rallied to denounce the Israeli regime's threats to assassinate Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar. Israeli authorities called for the assassination of top Hamas officials after a Palestinian stabbing attack left three people dead in the city of Eilat 3 days ago. Our correspondent Ashraf Shannon says the Islamic Jihad movement has also pledged to stand by Hamas in striking Israeli cities if the regime moves to assassinate Hamas leaders.
Senior Islamic Jihad official Khaled al-Batsh said that even before the Hamas's military wing fires rockets towards the Israeli regime, the military wing of the Islamic Jihad will even fire rockets towards the Israeli regime before those of Hamas, expressing solidarity of all Palestinian resistance groups with Yahya Sinwar. Last year, during the month of May, during the Israeli war in May, Israeli warplanes bombed the Sinwar's house in Khan Yunis, but he wasn't there, although his house was completely destroyed during that 11-day war.
Tensions continue to surge in Israeli-occupied territories. Tel Aviv now says that it has arrested two Palestinians, whom it claims killed the three Israelis in the attack 4 days ago. The two were caught near the city of Eilat, where the stabbing attack took place. They're reportedly from the Jenin area of the occupied West Bank. Israeli forces launched a massive manhunt and security crackdown following that incident. They have also extended the closure of the crossings with the West Bank and the Gaza Strip until Monday. The attack was the latest in a string of deadly operations targeting Israelis. Palestinian resistance movements have praised the operations, saying that they are the result of Israeli raids and brutality, particularly at Al-Aqsa Mosque compound and the occupied Al-Quds. And utter panic has engulfed Rohingya refugee camps across India as the South Asian nation intends to deport thousands of Rohingya refugees amid calls for a concrete refugee policy. As Munawar Saman reports from India, many are living in hiding and in many parts of the country, fearing detention and separation from families. Here's more.
It was challenging to convince these refugees at this camp in northern India to allow entry with a camera. Everyone was alarmed and started hiding their faces, while others emptied their shanties and some turned their backs. Rohingya refugees in India are in a desperate situation following renewed detention and deportation campaigns from the administration. Schools have already been detained while some deported. Intense crackdown on the community has created fear, which has led to sleepless nights amid worries of night raids and family separations.
We have come here only to save our life. During earlier years, it was only about the basic things to survive. But now, it's becoming more challenging and harder day by day, since we hear from news that we'll be deported to Myanmar. We can't sleep at night, fearing detention, deportation, and separation from families. They want to send us back to die, where our left-out community is being silently tortured and killed.
This old man, a little familiar with the local language, says, "I don't go out of the camp and prefer dying here than in a detention camp." Thousands of Rohingya refugees in India are living in an appalling situation with little or no help from anyone. Even the UN Refugee Agency is watching as a silent spectator, they said. Their men were involved in menial work for survival. However, due to detention fear, they had no choice but to abandon work and stick together in their camps.
Finding this camp wasn't easy, and upon reaching here, panic and horror was visible on every face. They got terrified upon seeing us and rushed to hidings, saying media in India is portraying their image very negatively, and this has made their survival even harder.
According to rights activists, refugee crises across the world are alarming, but this particular community continues to be an unseen victim of immeasurable extents of violence. Based on official estimates, more than 40,000 Rohingya refugees are living in parts of India after fleeing a brutal crackdown against their community in Myanmar. Many refugees say they felt safe in India since they arrived, but over the last few years, a vicious hate campaign and their expulsion is haunting the community.
We appeal to the UN. We have no support. We need your help and the help from the Indian government to stay alive. We are in acute pain and distress. We reached here just with our lives intact. Please do not detain us, deport us, or separate us from families. Rather, kill us. We have no strength to face more.
Activists say the need of the hour is to protect the rights of these refugees and secure their survival rather than deliberately targeting them and deporting them, despite the fact their lives are under threat back in Myanmar. Rights activists have urged the Indian government to formulate a uniform refugee policy. Since the country has no refugee law, they urge the Indian government to treat refugees equally, regardless of caste, ethnicity or faith. Munawar Zaman in the outskirts of New Delhi.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 22 20 years old, and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of love.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, May 8, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So, contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English radio programs. If you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program, of course, your program. And here I truly appreciate those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Pradeep Chandra Kanda from India, Anand Mohan from India also, and Sixten Niman from Finland. So, Pradeep, Sixten, and Anand, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And of course, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mention some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails and letters. First of all, Abu Sayed from Bangladesh has sent us an email from Finland. We've received two emails, including an email from Sixte Niman, and also from Olof Ratovara from Germany. We've received an email from Alex Koroba. And Jacques Augustin from France has sent us an email. And for your information about the reception reports, as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card or an eQSL card from us. Anyway, many thanks for being with us. I will be back with these great emails from around the world. Please stay with us. Well, Abu Sayed from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Let's see what Abu Sayed says. Dear friends, we are a group of old listeners of IRIB English Radio. Much has been written before, but due to being busy lately, I haven't been able to write to you regularly. However, I make sure not to miss visiting your website and listening to the programs. Looking forward to writing to you once in a while and send you my comments regarding your programs. I hope I can keep in touch with you more often. I would be very happy to receive from you a calendar and some souvenirs for our club in the new year. Salam and warm greetings to you, Abu Sayed from Bangladesh. And many thanks for writing this email to your radio, IRIB English Radio. So you said you are a group of old and regular listeners of IRIB English Radio, and you regularly write to our radio, and of course your radio, IRIB English Radio. And thank you very much for that. I mean, writing to IRIB English Radio once in a while. And that's great. It shows your, of course, your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. My colleagues soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Of course, sending any material, including a calendar and souvenirs and promotional items of IRIB English Radio to our listeners around the world in the time of pandemic is not possible. Of course, after the pandemic, we will send you these promotional items, but now it's not possible. Sorry for that. But for the time being, please accept an EQSL card for you and for a group of old listeners from Bangladesh, Abu Sayed. Thank you very much again. Write to us soon, please, and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And from Finland, we've received an email from Sixten Iman, one of our old and regular listeners. So Sixten Iman from Finland says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, I had a great pleasure to pick up your radio here in Nekralby, Finland, this evening. I'm enclosing a recording of your broadcast, including your station identifications. I would be very glad if you would verify my reception of your radio. Thank you very much in advance. Best regards." Salam and warm greetings to you from Iran and from IRIB English Radio. To you, Sixten Iman from Finland. And please accept our appreciations for sending us such a great email. Yes, we've received the recording of IRIB English Radio broadcast plus station identifications. Thank you for that. Thank you again for sending us this email. My colleague will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Sixten Iman from Finland. And after a short break, I will be back with another email again from Finland, from Olof Ratavara. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. As I said, Olof from Finland has sent us an email. Olof says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, greetings from Finland. Thank you for verifying my listening report. In my opinion, the program I heard was good and useful. Also, I listened to the world news telling that what Iran thinks about the situation in Yemen and Saudi Arabia, talks in Vienna, London, and Johnson, Palestinian issue, US and Biden. So, you cover almost all the interesting world issues. There are interesting articles and mindful lectures on Islamic issues. It's promising that Iran, Russia, and China want to speak with one voice against unfair world politics. I like that IRIB English Radio points out important things like the so-called third world countries should have independence and autonomy to decide their own things without intervention of superpowers. Best regards, DX listener from Finland. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Olof Ratavara from Finland. Olof, I wish I'm right in pronouncing your name because I don't know Finnish. thank you very much for sending us this email. So, you listen to IRIB English Radio World News, as you said, You know, every issue regarding the world developments, which is broadcast by IRIB English Radio, including the Palestinian issue, the talks in Vienna, the situation in Yemen. That's great that you listen to world developments, which is broadcast by IRIB English Radio, World News. That's great. And you said you also listen to articles in the program, like In the Limelight and Mindful Lectures on Islamic Issues. So you listen to all the programs by IRIB English Radio, and that's great. It shows your, of course, your support and commitment to our radio and your radio, of course, IRIB English Radio. That's great. It made my day, the news, hearing such comments. Thank you very much for telling us your views about IRIB English Radio. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Please write to us soon. Please write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Olof Ratavara from Finland. Thank you again. And from Germany, we've received an email from Alex Choroba. Alex says, Dear Madam or Sir, at IRIB English Radio, I would like to report a reception of your radio broadcast. Enclosed, you find my reception report and an audio record as evidence for my reception. I would be glad very much to receive a QSL card for your station for my collection. Sincerely yours. Salam and warm greetings to you, Alex Choroba from Germany, and please accept our gratitudes for sending us this email. Yes, my colleague will soon send you an EQSL card. Of course, sending a paper QSL card to our great listeners is not possible at the time of pandemic, but please accept our EQSL card as a confirmation. Thank you. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Alex from Germany. So, after a short break, I will be with you with the last, but not the least, email from Jacques Augustin from France. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I'm here with an email from Jacques Augustin from France. Jacques says, Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, despite regular tests, I was not able to listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and this made me more enthusiastic to write to you. So today, I am pleased to submit my reception report to your consideration. I hope this report will be helpful to you, and if checked and found to be correct, can you send me the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran QSL card as a verification? I was pleased to listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran and its religious program on Islam and talks on the holy month of Ramadan, the month of forgiveness. I think this point is important. As a conclusion, I wish this letter has pleased you. Looking forward to hearing from you. Best regards and stay safe. Salam and warm greetings to you, Jacques Augustin from France. And please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this great email. And thank you very much for telling us your views about IRIB English Radio programs as you listened to different programs, including religious programs on Islam and talks on the holy month of Ramadan, the month of forgiveness, as you pointed out. Thank you very much for that. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a verification, as you've requested. Jacques, please write us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. So, please stay with us. I will be back with you. So, before wrapping up, this week's edition of Listeners Special, the Sunday program, your program. Here, I want to appreciate those of our great listeners who have sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Pradeep Chandra Kanda from India, Sixten Niman from Finland, Anand Mohan from India, Jacques Augustin from France, Alex Chiroba from Germany, Olof Ratavara from Finland, Sixten Niman from Finland again, Abu Sayed from Bangladesh. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. Have a good time and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pastoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pastodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We're discussing the Akhirah, which is a very, very important discussion in Quran and Sunnah. The part that we're going to try and spend a little bit of time on tonight is the interrogation. And the interrogation, brothers and sisters, is very different to that final interrogation which we'll experience on the Day of Judgment. That's something else. This interrogation is more of a preliminary interrogation where the angels come to question us. It's mentioned that this is one of the things where it's a definite article of faith, something that we believe in. To this extent, the hadith is from Imam Sadiq. He says this, Man ankara thalathata ashya, the person who denies three things, falaysa min shi'atina, this person is not one of the Shia. You deny three things, this person is not one of the Shia. One of them is the Mi'raj. Somebody denies the Mi'raj. The other one is wal musa'alata fil barzakh. The idea that we'll be in question, that this interrogation will take place in the grave, fil qabr. And then also shafa. That's another one of the things that's mentioned over there. What happens is we're told that this begins immediately after you and I are put in that hole in the ground. So in Nahjul Balagha, Imam Ali says this. He says that what happens is, when the people who came to bury the mayyit, they leave. And then those who were mourning, the friends, the family members, those people who were crying over the mayyit, now that they've departed, at this time those angels descend. Now, what's very interesting over here is how different it is for the Muslim and the non-Muslim, for the believer and the non-believer. Now, I'm going to mention the bad news first. The idea being, inshallah, for myself, it's a reminder for all of you. Even if you've heard these ahadith, it's good to get a reminder about them. Right now, we have time to make up for these things. Why wait until it's too late? It's very different for the believer and for the non-believer. What we're told in the ahadith is that when the angels enter the grave, how they look is very terrifying. So imagine, as I said, the state of that person who's now just been transitioned out from this world. But then now to be over there, and then suddenly these two angels come in. Some of the ahadith are very graphic with what happens to that person. It is said that they strip the mayyit of the kafan. They sit the mayyit up, and after that, the questioning begins. Imam Ali, in that hadith that I mentioned, it says that the mayyit is trying to whisper, kind of. They don't want to get the questions wrong, but they're rapid-fire questions by the angels. The angels, it's mentioned that they have voices like thunder, and their eyes are like blinding lightning. There's other details that they mention about the angels, about their fangs, about their hair dragging on the ground. There's other details that are mentioned about a shaitan entering into the grave. Snakes being unleashed on the mayyit if the person doesn't answer in the right way. All of these different things happening. And so that's what happens when the person is there. And then they start to go over and ask the questions. So right now, these first questions are about the preliminary beliefs, because the details are going to come later. Later on, for instance, let's say over here that we can ask about prayer and fasting and these kind of things, just the basics of it. over there, then Allah will say, for instance, when you offered Dhuhr prayer, what niyat did you have? Right? Because there's another hadith that I had shared with brothers and sisters before where they said, on the day of judgment, then there's 50 stations, and each one of those stations is 1,000 years. Inna lil-qiyama khamsina mawqifa. There's 50 stations on the day of judgment. Kullu mawqifin miqdaruhu alfa sana. Each mawqif, each station is 1,000 years. And that's where they go over each and every detail that the person did. Of course, unless the believer was able to do enough in this world, so there's one of those people who answers without hisab, because there are some people who are like that. There's some people who are but they're doing it here. They're taking care of it on this side. They don't want to face those nightmares on the other side. But otherwise, what happens is that preliminary interrogations happens here, and the basics that the angels are asking are things about our belief. Who's our Lord? Who's our Creator? What's our deen? And it's mentioned that the beating starts for those who are rejecting, those who don't answer correctly. The beating starts. Now, what we want to talk about is, inshallah, what happens if we're believers. Inshallah, we're amongst the good people. Inshallah, we're amongst those who are able to take care of our affairs before we go there, and not have to face those horrors on the other side. Because the things that we're going to be facing are going to be our beliefs. What were our beliefs? Were they in line with Quran and Sunnah or not? Our actions? Inshallah, we'll get a chance to talk about what are some of the main reasons that people get those squeeze in the grave. If we were to know some of those things, we'd be able to avoid them. But anyhow, for the believer, we're told that the angels look very different. Imam Sadiq in one hadith, a man named Abu Basir asks the Imam, he says, do the angels, Nakir and Munkar, do they look the same for the mu'min and the kafir? The Imam says, no. Actually, one of those du'as, the things that we're advised for the month of Rajab, one of those beautiful du'as that we make, and now is the time, meaning the time of Ramadan is when we can make these kind of du'as, where we ask Allah to save us from the interrogation. And instead of us seeing Nakir and Munkar, that we see the angels who are giving good tidings. So that can happen. The angels look very different. So first of all, for the believers, we're told that, inshallah, we're amongst these people. The believers are escorted. When they first die, they're escorted by the malaika. So first of all, alhamdulillah, they saw Ahlul Bayt when they died. After that, they're escorted by the malaika. The earth gives good tidings to them, to the believer who's about to be buried. Now, the other thing that happens is that the angels are very happy. Nakir and Munkar, they're happy when we give the right answers. The angels are on our side. They want us to win. After we answer correctly, just that preliminary discussion, then the angels tell us, ثَبَّتَكَ اللَّهُ فِيمَا تُحِبْ وَتَرْضَى, that may Allah make you stay firm on those things that you love and that you're pleased by. We're also told that there's a call that comes from heaven for the believers. That caller that comes from heaven speaks on behalf of Allah, says, صَدَقَ عَبْدِي, my slave has told the truth. And then they're told to put down carpet for the believer from paradise. In addition to that, they're told to open a door to paradise, and also that the person should be able to wear those heavenly garments. And then after that is when the angels end up expanding the grave of the believer until it gets so as far as the eye can see, and then after that also the door to heaven. So we ask Allah, inshallah, to help us to be amongst those people who are able to pass this first test of the angels, the interrogation of the angels, and inshallah have the comfort and the help of the Ahlul Bayt in doing so.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of the speech delivered on April 12, 2022 by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the government officials of the Islamic Republic. Thankfully, the Islamic Republic is an attractive model for those who are in contact with us and who are well informed. Therefore, the criteria must be considered. Those who want to make judgments about the condition of the country should not only look at the economy. The economy is only one criterion. There are other criteria as well, such as security, scientific achievements, maximum use of the sanctions for innovating the country and diplomatic indicators. These are all indicators and criteria, and they must be looked at. The power of a country is a system comprised of various elements which are interconnected. Failure to see this geometrical form of power and credibility makes one form wrong judgments. Therefore, the entire system must be seen. When one looks at the system in its entirety, it is satisfactory. Of course, the enemy has certain greedy intentions. He makes some nonsensical and discouraging comments. They used to make such comments before as well, but they are voicing the same statements today too.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
In the beginning of the revolution, when Saddam Hussein attacked Iran, he held an interview in the proximity of Abudis, near the Iran border. He said the next interview will be held next week in Tehran. He said this. He promised himself and his audience that they would conquer Tehran the following week, where he would hold an interview. And you saw what happened to him during and after the war. In one of the operations, Saddam Hussein was very close to being arrested by the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps youth. During Fathul Mubin operation, if they had gotten there half an hour earlier, they would have arrested Saddam. But he took off. He was lucky. In the end, too, he suffered a miserable fate and was forced to accept Iran's terms. And later on, he even sought refuge in Iran. Sent his planes one after another without our permission in subsequent events.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.